This is Jason Marsden, voice of Duke from G.I. Joe Renegades. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Cinema Geeks. I am one of your Cinema Geeks, Optimus Solo, and joining me for today's record is Movie Revolt Dan. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. So last time we were with you guys, we counted down our top 10 films of 2019. And today we're going to talk a little bit about box office because we have some unfinished business to take care of as far as last year's box office draft, I guess you could call it, and the results of that. I'm sure people are glued to their seats waiting to see who won that contest. And then Dan and I are going to do our best to count down what we think is going to be the box office champions in 2020. Before we get into any of that, Dan, how's it going? And how confident are you feeling of your box office picks for this one?
I am very little. I have no confidence whatsoever. It's a very weird year.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
But yeah, especially with, as we're recording this recently, some movies have changed their release schedule because of the coronavirus. So who knows what this year is going to be? The biggest movie could be a Netflix movie. We never know.
Now you're making me worried because I don't know how good my research is now as far as release dates go. But before we get into all that, let's break down our draft that we did last year for 2019. This was Dan, myself, Amanda, and Matt. And we each made a 7-movie team with 2 alternates just in case a movie did not come out, which we did have one of those occur. So it's good that we had our alternate picks in there, I believe. Although some of our alternate picks did not come out. So there's that as well. But luckily, everything I think is going to work out well. I'm going to review the top movies at the box office from last year and kind of how they fell onto the teams. So Dan, you had for your first pick on the team from last year, you went with Avengers Endgame. How you feeling about that one?
Pretty strong. I think I'm pretty feeling really good about that one.
Yeah, that's a good pick to have as your first pick because it was the number one movie at the box office in 2019 by a wide margin, $858 million as far as all these numbers are domestic. So $858 million, $100 million. And that was way ahead of the other one by almost over 300 million in first. So that was quite the butt kicking that Avengers had. And I don't think any of us predicted that it would be that big of a margin between that and number two.
I think there was some debate about what would be number one. And then that was,
Yeah, things happened, and there was nothing even close to Avengers. So that was a good first pick for you. Bouncing over to the other number one picks from all the different teams and see how they kind of fell. Amanda's number one pick overall was, in fact, Toy Story 4. Toy Story 4 landed in third place at the box office, just barely. Unless another movie overtakes it, I guess, in the coming weeks, although it's kind of weird because it's 2020, but there's still movies that are released in 2019, but some of them are still playing. But Toy Story 4, $434 million, and that is enough for third best. So that was a good pick, four number one picks, and if you get one that's in the top four, that should be a success. And you two are the only two that got your number one picks in the top four. So good start for you two. Matt's number one pick was Captain Marvel. And that is currently sitting in the fifth spot for 2019 box office, so just outside that top four. And my unfortunate number one, Star Wars Episode IX, The Rise of Skywalker. Thought that might be competing for one or two. Instead, currently it is in sixth. So not what you want out of your top pick to land in sixth place. So based on those first four picks, Dan, you're feeling strong with that number one, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. I at least started off well. I didn't ruin the first pick. That's always didn't get injured and didn't get traded or didn't fail to live up to the hype at least when it came to box office wise. So
Yeah, absolutely. Feeling good about that. Let's go to our number two picks. The best number two pick belonged to me. And that's about the end of my glory in this whole thing. But my number two pick was The Lion King, which ended up at the number two spot in the box office overall. So snuck in a good one there with my second pick, landing with The Lion King with $100 million there. And let's see who had the next best number two pick. That would be you, Dan, with Frozen 2, which is currently in the fourth spot, just knocking on Toy Story 4's doors. So you get in your first two picks, a number one and a number four. That is quite the coup, I would say. Matt had the next best number two pick with Spider-Man Far From Home, which currently sits in the seventh spot. And Amanda took a little hit with the second pick, which was Zombieland 2, which is currently sitting at the 40th spot. So not doing her any favors with that one. So after two rounds, Dan has a 1 and a 4. I have a 2 and a 6, Matt has a 5 and a 7, and Amanda a 3 and a 40. All right. Still feeling good, Dan?
Yeah, definitely. Let's see how it goes. At least number 1 and 2, but we got a ways to go.
For the third pick in the draft, actually Matt had the best one there with Aladdin, which comes in at 8th right now overall. We all took a hit with our third picks a little bit here after Matt, because Matt had one in the top 10 still, and none of the rest of us do. So my number third pick was The Secret Life of Pets 2, because, you know, animated films sometimes make a lot of money. And it did make $157 million, but that's only good enough for 16th spot. So 16th for me. Then we go to Amanda's third pick, which was Dumbo, Disney. Why not? But that $114 million, which is 22nd in 2019. And then Dan, you round up the number three picks with a Lego Movie 2, which disappointing, 28th with $105
million. I know. Still can't believe that. It's crazy.
Yeah. So the third round kind of did us, spun us a little bit, because we have an 8 pick, a 16, a 22, and a 28. So that was maybe the hard spot of the draft. It apparently looks like it, because our number four picks, for a couple of us were actually better, including you. Your number four pick was, a horror film in It Chapter 2, and It Chapter 2 currently sits in the top 10, right at the number 10 spot. So that's pretty good. I had Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, which is currently in the 13th spot. Matt had Shazam, which is currently in the 19th spot. And Amanda had Rocket Man, which is currently in the 32nd spot. So to recap those fourth picks, that's Dan at number 10, me 13, Matt 19, Amanda 32. So that's a little over halfway through these picks, Dan. You were feeling good after your Avengers and Frozen 2 were 1 and 4. Then you had Lego Movie and It. How are you feeling now?
Yeah, I don't know. Lego Movie, like, it's a little worrisome because that really didn't do so well, which is so weird to me, because the first one was such a huge hit, but I guess maybe it came out too late. So yeah, I don't know. Seems like Matt's killing it as a friend.
Yeah, so far, if you're looking at that, Dan's four picks, 1, 4, 10, and 28. Mine are 2, 6, 13, and 16. Matt's 5, 7, 8, and 19. And Amanda's 3, 22, 32, and 40. All right, let's see how the fifth picks did. The best fifth pick belongs to Dan with How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, which is currently sitting in the 15th spot. That gets ugly for the rest of us. Matt's pick didn't come out, so that was Sonic the Hedgehog. So we will go to his best performing wildcard pick, which was Alita Battle Angel, which was the 33rd spot. Then it goes to me with Men in Black International, which was 36th, and Amanda Pet Cemetery, 53rd. So that's got to make you feel good, Dan. You had a 15, the rest of us 33, 36, and 53.
Yeah. I'm liking that. When in doubt, go animated, usually.
Yes, usually. I'll tell you when that's not the case, though, coming up here. Six picks. Who had the best six pick? That would be Matt. Matt had the Joker, and that is sitting in the ninth spot. I don't know why our six picks are way better than some of our other picks, because I had Jumanji, and that's 11th. And Amanda had John Wick, which is 14th. Then you're going to round off the six picks with Godzilla, King of the Monsters, at 25. So a really weird sixth draft pick here, because we have a 9, an 11, and a 14 that still came up for the three of us trying to gain some ground back on you. And then the final spots, you had Us, another horror film, and that came out in the 12th spot. Matt had Pokemon Detective Pikachu, which was 17th. Amanda, Little Women, got a lot of praise with the awards, not so much at the box office. That was 72nd. And then the worst draft pick of the whole thing, I thought animated would be safe with my last pick, and I went with The Missing Link, and that is good enough for 117th spot. So that was brutal. Going up some wild cards that didn't come into play, Dan, you had Minecraft, which I don't believe was released.
No, it did not.
And then you had Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which would have actually been 18th overall. So that was a good wild card to have in case one of your other ones didn't come out. I had Midway, which is currently sits in the 50th spot, and I had Cats.
So how's that too?
That's 107th. Yeah, Matt's other wild card besides Alita Battle Angel was Isn't It Romantic, which came in 57th. One of Amanda's wild cards didn't come out. The one that did, though, was The Dead Don't Die, which came out in the 145th spot. So if you break that down, Dan, you had a 1, a 4, a 10, a 12, a 15, a 25, and a 28. Matt had a 5, a 7, an 8, a 9, a 17, a 19, and a 33. I had a 2, a 6, 11, 13, 16, 36, and 117. And Amanda had a 3, 14, 22, 32, 40, 53, and 72. I know that's a lot of numbers, so let me just give you the grand totals. Coming in last place with 236 total ranking spots would be Amanda. Coming in third place would be myself with 201. Notice those numbers, 236 and 201, because you and Matt are both sub 100. And the difference is basically the fact that Alita Battle Angel, with its 33 points, had to take the place of Sonic, which puts Matt with 98 spots and Dan with 95 spots.
Wow.
So by three, Dan takes the crown. Before I get your thoughts, Dan, a couple of other ones that we missed that could have helped us out that had good rankings there. We didn't really miss any of the – we all had the top 10 within all our picks. I think the first pick that we did not have I guess if you can't count Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because that was one of your wild cards. The lowest ranked movie that we did not pick was Aquaman at 20. So we did select the top 19 picks.
But isn't that's a 2018 movie, isn't it?
Yeah, it listed under this for some reason. Maybe that's why, obviously, we don't have it. Because it came out December 21st of 18. But it's listed here in the 19 rankings as 20th. So if we throw that one out, the next best one that we missed would have been the next spot, 21st, which would have been Knives Out. Nice. So Knives Out at 21, Maleficent at 23, Glass 24. And that's really all it's worth mentioning at this point. So biggest surprises from last year, Dan, and what was the trick for you bringing home the crown?
Like I said, when in doubt, go Marvel or animated is usually pretty solid. And well, I say that, and then horror also did well.
Yeah, you did well with your horror picks for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, with us, it was just kind of looking at like, you know, it was coming off of, Jordan Peele just won the Academy Award.
Right.
No, he did. He didn't win the Academy Award, but
all the buzz.
All the buzz, and it was coming at a, also looking at release schedule, like competition wise, it seemed. Mm-hmm. I thought Us would do well. I didn't expect it to do, you know, be as high as it did. that really
helped. Us and It Chapter Two with a 10th and a 12th spot was really helpful in the horror films. And then obviously, like you said, your animated films with Frozen, Lego, and How to Train Your Dragon.
Nostalgia also is a big, it's usually a big piece of it, which is why I went with It, because it had the nostalgia piece as well.
Absolutely. My biggest surprise for me, obviously, was Star Wars not even finishing in the top five. That didn't help at all. And then my animated picks just did not fare as well as everybody else's, because Secret Life of Pets at 16 and Missing Link at 117. I obviously went with the wrong one there. Some of Matt's picks that surprised me that did really well, because early on we weren't sure how well the Joker was going to do. He snuck in that with his fifth pick, and that was a top 10 film. And Pokemon, Detective Pikachu, I'd never imagined being as high as it was at 17. So that really helped. And then I think we all really enjoyed Shazam, which we weren't quite sure, how well that movie was going to be. And that was in the top 20 as well. So a good showing by Matt, but just barely eked out the title for Dan with a 3-point victory there. So you guys were over 110 points ahead of both of myself and Amanda. So.
Yeah. Just one bad pick can always kind of throw you.
Yeah, one bad pick can definitely tank you in this whole thing. So that was 2019. Dan, overall, any surprises outside the ones we mentioned? Because obviously, you know, as I said, the top five looked like this: Avengers Endgame, then Lion King, then Toy Story, then Frozen, then Captain Marvel were the top five at the box office. Surprise there?
Not really. Like I mentioned, Knives Out doing as well as it did, like it being like outside of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the second highest grossing original property. Well, I guess, no, that's not true, because I guess you would count us third highest.
Right.
But so within the top 20, there was at least three kind of original films, which is nice if you kind of discount Aquaman, so it was the year before.
Right.
I don't know what it's going to be like this year. We'll get into that, but
yeah. This year's crazy, and as we're kind of turning the page to 2020, and we know some films have come out already, but what's missing from the 2020 box office is, of course, we will have no Star Wars film, and the Marvel landscape is a little different. I mean, we're still getting some Marvel films, but, you know, now it's post-Avengers, and it's an interesting landscape to kind of figure out how that's going to all play out. So what was your strategy going into your top 10 this year, Dan? Was it still, you know, trying to key in on those five or six animated films that were going to be there? Did you find, you know, were you looking for some repeat success in the horror genre, or were you trying to maybe look at that nostalgia that you talked about with It?
I think this year I was looking at what is the safest pick, in the sense of, I don't know if this was going to be a top five movie, but I'm pretty sure it'll be in the top 10. Hmm. I think this year, usually you can tell, okay, this movie, like we talked about with Avengers, like you knew that was going to be number one or number two at the least. I feel like my number one pick could be the number one movie this year, could be number five or number 10. So I was just trying to think of, like, what's something I know will do just, you know, has a very low or very high floor. So kind of playing it a little bit conservative this year, because like you mentioned, when it comes to the Marvel films, yeah, we have them, but I think there's question marks there that we haven't seen before. The animated films, like some of them, when I mentioned with like Lego Movie, I was thinking, well, is this a potential another failure like Lego Movie? Well, where it's not going to reach where what the other movies did, has the kind of it that kind of franchise been passed by,
right?
And there's a lot of like newer films. There are some, you know, newer films this year that are have potential to be huge blockbusters, but you know, they're the start of a potential franchise or coming from notable directors, and sometimes those movies do really well and sometimes they, you know, don't. So I it was tough. I kind of just played it conservative in the sense of, let me think of stuff that, you know, the worst it can do is like top 20. So we'll see.
It's interesting too, because, you know, we go through this process and we all, you know, we have similar processes, but we look at different things. You know, some of the key things that we try to focus in on is, you know, number one, if it's comparable to other films that we can look at and see what they made. So, you know, a sequel, what did the first one do, or something else from that franchise, how did that one perform? And then sometimes there's a thing where you're looking at, you know, when is the movie going to be released, and is there a lot of competition, or is that a typically a good spot for a film to be released as far as a moneymaker and that type of thing. And sometimes it's just, you know, sometimes there's not a sequel or not another movie in that franchise. So it's like, what's the most comparable thing to that? Whether it's a, you know, a new property or something that, you know, doesn't necessarily have something that we can just directly shout out to, like, what are some comparable movies? You know, like you said, what is the director? What is the company, you know, is animated or what's the genre doing? So there's lots of different things to look at. We also to try to take a look at some of the other, at least I do, some of the other top lists that other people put out to see if I'm missing something that, you know, everybody else is listing that I didn't think of and stuff like that. So I don't know about you. I had probably about 50 movies that I started with before I started narrowing it down. And right around the 20-ish mark, give or take a few that I had it narrowed down to on the second round. And I don't know how comfortable I feel with these top 10, but I feel like I might be a little risky with a couple of them, but I'm hoping not too risky because, like you said, you know, all it takes is one film to just be terrible and you're out of this thing. So, but there are those films that you're not expecting that just kind of catch lightning in a bottle and really get the buzz going, and then they're unstoppable at the box office. So sometimes we try to pick one of those, but those are really hard to try to narrow down beforehand. So how we're going to do this is we're going to be counting down a little bit different than we have in the past. We're actually going to start at the top because we feel like there's a little bit more unity at the top usually. So we might have a little bit more of our crossover picks right there. And then we're going to branch all the way down to our number 10 picks and see, you know, how many common picks we have and how much how different we thought when we came to this process. So, Dan, why don't you start us off here? What will be the number one box office movie of 2020?
Yeah, I mean, starting with, like, what is the biggest movie going to be in this, like I said, this year? I don't know. There wasn't an automatic one that I went like, oh, that's definitely going to be the number one movie of the year. There is a lot of potential candidates, but again, I'm thinking, what is the safest bet? Like, what is something that it seems like it's on the rise? It has a lot of momentum, and in this case, does even potentially play in nostalgia a little bit. So I went with Wonder Woman as my number one movie of the year. It wasn't the biggest movie of the year when it came out, but it did do really well. Like, DC movies are hard to determine. Like, Aquaman did really well, but Shazam did okay. But I think, like, there was a lot of buzz. We saw how well, if you want to compare it to Captain Marvel did. It's taking place in the 80s, so maybe that had something to it. I'm not sure. It seems like the first one had a lot of, you know, critical acclaim. It's coming back with, you know, the same cast, same director. So I feel like it was probably the safest bet of being a top five movie. Like, so I figured, okay, this one I feel the most confident in that its floor is the highest out of every film that's coming out this year. Will I be surprised if it's not the number one movie of the year? No, but I feel like it has the best shot of everything that's coming out. So it's why I picked it for number one.
This is why Dan is smart, guys, because he looked at things I didn't even consider, which is genius as far as the floor. And I agree, the Wonder Woman, there's no way it's not in the top five. Like, it's going to be in the top five, so you don't have as much risk there as far as the floor dropping out or something like that. And I think you've hit a lot of points, which is why I have this one at my number two as well. Not number one, but I have it in my number two spot, which is probably dumb, but I agree. Wonder Woman, the first one, you know, 400 million plus. I think it is honing in on the nostalgia that we have here for things that are, you know, we're getting a lot of that from things that are 80s or 90s stuff now that all those children are adults and whatnot. So I think 1984, it's going to pull some of that in as well, coming out in June, which is looks like a decent month for that type of genre and that type of film this year, because there is some stuff coming out, you know, the month before. But really not anything immediately after. So it might be able to sustain some good box office numbers for a number of weekends there. So I think Wonder Woman is a great pick. I'm probably going to regret not having it at my number one, but it's currently at my number two. So Wonder Woman off the board. We both are obviously thinking that that is going to be a big money maker with this year. For my number one, I'm trying to, I guess, a little bit of a couple different things. Number one, company that's putting it out seems to make a lot of money, and that's Disney. They seem to do pretty well, and I don't know if this one's getting gonna catch the lightning in the bottle that we were talking about or not, but man, Aladdin did $355 million Cinderella, even way back in the, you know, a long time ago now, it seems like, was over 200 million, and Lion King last year, 500 plus. I don't know if it's going to quite reach that height, but in a year that's kind of, like we said, it doesn't have that clear number one, I think this one is going to at least end up in the top five, like you were talking about with Wonder Woman. So I'm going to go with Mulan as my number one. Everything that's about this has looked great so far. I don't know if there's going to be backlash and people aren't going to go see it because of the lack of music or things like that. I don't know if that's something that's a thing or not, but I'm just basing this on how every other Disney live action property has done so far. And I have Mulan kind of on stretch here to be the number one this year.
I don't necessarily greatly disagree with you because it's my number three. Mulan is a lot of what you said. What kind of helped me off in putting it higher was that, you know, like, again, like, where I don't know if it has the same type of cachet as a Lion King or Aladdin. Like, you know, their film was worn as, I think, beloved, or it wasn't as beloved as those. It came out like near the later end of the Disney Renaissance. It's still, you know, a really well-respected film. I think it looks fantastic. I think it may be the best out of it. Could easily be the best out of all the live-action movies that are made. So that has the potential. That's why it kept me putting it at three. What held off a little bit was just like, I don't know if it has the same type of, you know, if the fan base is as strong as the other two films. And if, again, we're hitting a threshold of potential of people getting kind of sick of these because we saw Dumbo didn't do nearly as well. It did well, but so that's why I figured it's definitely going to be in the top five because it seems a lot better than Dumbo, but that would stop me from putting it higher than three.
The thing I'm wondering is if what might help this one is if it comes out and the word of mouth is positive. If it's getting good reviews and if it's getting, you know, good things said about it, will it then, you know, if it didn't have the same pull as Lion King did just on name value alone, will it be just a better movie overall, which could then help it translate to some box office numbers is what I'm kind of hoping for. But we'll have to wait and see.
And this is also where it becomes the difference between domestic or
yes,
or global. If this was global, I would probably say Mulan number one, but it being domestic, it might be a little different. I'm curious to see where my number two is on your list because it's this one. I went back and forth many times. Actually, I did this list and I had Mulan number one a few times, and I had this movie in the top like number 10. I had it number five, but I just feel like it's gonna be it's hitting a certain threshold of a moviegoer that I think is gonna potentially like skyrocket it at least domestically. And that's Top Gun Maverick. Again, it's all based on nostalgia with this. I know some people who like Top Gun has like a huge fan base, you know, and a lot of people I think that don't necessarily normally go to theater. I can see going out and seeing Top Gun. I don't know. Tom Cruise movies tend to, the Mission Impossible movies do really, really well. Other films haven't done as well. But, you know, we haven't seen a Top Gun movie since the original 80s. It looks pretty solid. I don't know, at least it looks a lot like the original, which I don't know. So I might be, this one could end up, I talk about having a high floor. This one's floor I think is much lower, but I think its potential's a lot higher. So I thought I'd take a risk with number two. So that's why I went with Top Gun. And I'm curious to see how well it does, but I feel like in a summer of, you know, a lot of question marks, something that I feel like has at least a fan base to kind of go off of. And I feel like it's, when it comes to the type of movie that it can be, I feel like it would be successful in that. It's, I don't know. So that's why I went with number two.
Yeah, it's, you know, coming out in the summer, actually the same month as Wonder Woman. And you're right, it can definitely pinpoint some of that nostalgia and some of that, not just nostalgia, but, you know, how many movies do we get that's going to offer what this movie is going to offer to, you know, the viewers as far as an experience in the theater. You know, we don't get a lot of you know, the dogfights or the plane, you know what I mean? Like, we don't get a lot of what it's offering as far as its genre of kind of like action, etc. So what prevented me from ranking this one in, I don't have it in my top 10, which is probably wrong, But I just didn't know. Like, it was a mystery to me. Like, I don't know how many Top Gun fans, I guess there are probably a lot of them. And to me, it's like, when you have a movie like Top Gun, is it that's coming out that had that film that was, you know, 20, 30 years prior to it. Sometimes those movies are gangbusters at the box office. And then sometimes it's just kind of like, yeah, middling, you know what I mean? And I wasn't sure. I wasn't a huge Top Gun person when I was growing up, so maybe I'm just disconnected from the fan base. But I could definitely see this one catching fire and doing a heck of a number, you know, during the summer. So I don't think you're necessarily that far off. I just was too afraid to take the risk on it because of my lack of knowledge of its fan base, I guess.
Yeah, it could just be, you know, knowing a lot of people that are fans of it could be in backing me. And like you said, I did look at some lists and it was projected to do really well.
Yeah, for sure. So,
and I was also thinking of, like, I don't know why, but like things like Jurassic Park kind of came to my mind. Like, Jurassic
yeah.
Park did amazing that box office wise went, because it was such a huge gap between the last films. So, yeah, like you said, you could be right in the sense of this is why it's such a weird year. This could, you know, my number two could end up not even being in the top 20. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know if I see that. I don't think it's at any risk of not being in the top 20. But like I said, I just
be out of the top 10 easily compared to, like,
yeah. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. That's one of the ones that I'm most intrigued about. There's a few on this list that I was very intrigued about, but almost scared to put them on my list. So my number two, obviously, was Wonder Woman, like we already talked about. Going to my number three, because your number three was Mulan, correct?
Yeah, my number three is Mulan.
Yeah, okay. So my number three, I am going to go... I guess it's cheap, but I'm going back to Disney. And the reason I'm going to this one specifically is more to do with the genre and the release date, I think. Not to mention, obviously, it's coming from Disney, so that usually helps. But there's an animated film from Disney coming out in the holiday season in November, which, you know, Frozen has had a lot of success coming in along those times. And I'm wondering if this one will be similar. I kind of compared it to Moana, which made about 250 million. And I'm talking about Raya and the Last Dragon. I don't know if there's going to be that much, like, the same type of buzz that we would got with Frozen or something like that. I don't think it's going to necessarily get to that type of heights. But I'm looking at when all the animated films come out this year, and it seems like it's on an island as far as the last quarter. I don't, you know, most of the other animated films are coming out in, you know, March, April. We have, like, June and July, and this one's just sitting there in November. What I would think is a prime spot. I haven't seen much on it, but what I have seen made it look like it was something that I could see kids really going after. Year, you know, they've seen all their parents or, you know, their adults talking about, you know, Game of Thrones or other things with dragons, and kids like dragons, and now we got Raya and the Last Dragon. I don't know, maybe it will be something that kids are dragging their parents to. So that's what I have currently in the number three spot.
Yeah, I have it at number five on my list.
Okay.
You know, it's a Disney animated film, so I figured it has to be in the top five at least someplace. I don't know if it's going to be a musical. I wasn't really clear on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
So I feel like sometimes, like, that has a pretty positive you know, impact. It's, again, it's hard because this is a brand new property. Like,
right.
You know, sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Fantasy was the one thing that kept it from me ranking it higher. Not because I dislike fantasy, but fantasy tends to be very hit and miss with people. Especially, you know, outside of Harry Potter, there's not a lot of fantasy movies that tend to do really well for kids, but maybe that's something that could change with Disney. And I say that, and there's also other fantasy Disney movies coming out this year. So we'll see. I guess, you know what, to retract that, because I think if you count all, like, the, you know, Disney Princess movies, I guess could also all be considered.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know.
Ultimately, it's a little different. I can see what you're getting at, though. I can totally see where you're coming from on that one.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, I don't know. I've never heard of Ray and the Last Dragon, so I don't know if it's based off anything, if it's original idea or not. So, like, again, it's a top five. I felt it was definitely going to be in the top five. I just didn't know where exactly. Like, Moana did really well, but it wasn't, you know, it didn't crack the top five when it came out. So that's what kind of has it, like, sometimes you get that huge hit like a Frozen, but a lot of that is tend to be based upon it having that huge hit song tends to have cause that, you know, people to go back. You know, Zootopia did well, but it wasn't as big of a hit compared to Frozen. Tangled did well, but wasn't as big of a hit. So it's like,
all right, Dan, you're making me feel bad about my threshold
there. Like, that's why I put number. That's why I put number five. But I didn't. I wasn't sure if I would put it higher or not. So, all right, I guess we can move over to my number four. And it's crazy that we've gotten this far, and this is the first time either of us is talking about a Marvel movie, which is weird. Which again goes to show you how weird this movie this year is. Two Marvel movies that are coming out this year. I was like, okay, like I don't have much faith in the Marvel films this year compared to years past, but it's still, again, there's a certain floor when it comes to a Marvel movie. They seem to bring out, like, you know, people that typically go to movies three times a year, and it's usually to see the Marvel films. So that's why I went with Black Widow as my number four. It's strange because I feel like I don't see a lot of excitement for this compared to years past and other Marvel films, even compared to, like, Captain Marvel. In spoiler alert, I don't know if that's because, you know, in technically the last movie she was in, Black Widow died, and if so it's like, well, this is kind of, if it's going to confuse people and be like, wait, I don't understand, I thought she was dead,
right?
It does feel like it's a few years too late, in the sense of, like, it may have been made more sense that coming out in, like, right near Winter Soldier and around that time frame. That has me hesitant. Again, I still think it's going to be number four, or at least in the top five, or potentially top 10. But I don't know. Like, it's going to be a huge test, I think, because it's the first Marvel film coming out after, Endgame, which was, like, it's very much a closing of the chapter. And this feels like almost like a bonus level or something like that. Like, you know, downloadable content for a video game that just adds to what came before and doesn't necessarily start anything new. So yeah, that's why I really struggled where to put this, but I figured I can't not have a Marvel movie in the top five. I feel like this one at least has a better chance of doing well, since it does, you know, people do like the Black Widow character. Scarlett Johansson is a pretty well-known star, and, you know, it's coming out in a time of year where there's not a lot going on, and it's going to be, I think, probably the biggest movie of the year when it comes out. So I think it'll at least open well. But I think it'll probably be, if it is the, like, I see it doing around kind of what, you know, I don't see it nearly doing it like Endgame numbers, maybe more like what a Doctor Strange did or something of that nature, which was good, but not like, you know, a top,
right,
top one or two. So that's why I put it in four.
Yeah, I was torn on Black Widow. I have it in my top 10 as well because I could not put it there. But I settled in on number seven for me, which seems not high enough. But a couple of things that made me do that. Number one, like you said, I think it is a couple years too late. Like, I think people were really, you know, clamoring for the Black Widow standalone movie, like, you know, 2-3 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that. And now they're finally getting it. And I'm wondering, like you, if it's going to be a little bit of a less of a excitement level now because of what we've seen through the Avenger movies. You know, if you're comparing it to, like you said, like a Doctor Strange or an Ant-Man, some of those other standalone characters films, which were right around 180 to 230 million. So it's still going to, I still think it's going to do close to those numbers, which is still going to be good and definitely good enough for a top 10 for sure. I'm just worried that its release date in May, coming out along the same time as another film that we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But not just that, the fact that it's coming out in May and then we have Wonder Woman coming out in June. I'm wondering if it doesn't have, you know, if it's not going really super great out the gate, if Wonder Woman would stifle some of its longevity in the theater, or if both of them can coexist there for a while through that June, you know, those June weekends. So that's why I dropped it down a little bit to number seven, but I could totally see this being a top five film. So it's just weird that dealing with the Marvel movies this year is, to me, like something that just can't be pinned down like we could before. Like, you know, you always were putting, you know, there's a Captain America movie or there's an Avengers movie. Well, that's, you know, top one, two, maybe at the most, you know what I mean? And now it's like, is it top five? Is it top 10?
Yeah. And to clarify, it comes out April 24th. So I don't know.
Oh, I must have the wrong date. I had the wrong date. So maybe that's why I did not rank that as high. And maybe I'm completely wrong with that.
It's only a week earlier. So I don't know if that's, if maybe,
oh, another weekend though.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, it's one. And again, I don't know if that's because they always do the thing where it releases overseas first, and then and the United States the week after. So maybe the U.S. It's, I forget, but
yeah,
what I saw was in April.
So. Maybe it's going to have that whole month by itself, which could help you get it, you know, into that top five spot. Definitely. So I'm just intrigued to see how the few Marvel films that are coming out this year end up doing, and maybe we'll have a better look, you know, next year going into it after we've seen that. But it's intriguing to me for sure.
So what's next on your list?
I'm being boring. I'm going to just keep going with Disney picks and animated picks as long as I can. This one going more the Pixar route. I know this is coming out literally as we are recording this and releasing it, so maybe it's too early in the year, but that first quarter has been done real well for certain animated films in the past. So I'm hoping that Onward can kind of catch some of that magic. You know, it's a Pixar film, which is another... It's kind of like what we were talking about with Raya and the Last Dragon. Like, it's more of this new character, new property that we're not quite sure. We can't really compare it to some things that have been around. And that's what we're getting with a Pixar film, because lately, after going years and years of having no sequels outside of Toy Story, you know, recent years we've gotten Finding Dory, we've gotten Incredibles 2. So we were kind of used to that Pixar going more the route of sequels, and now we're having this Onward, which is this, you know, new film that we're not familiar with. I'm just wondering if it's going to hit a good time for an animated film, you know, coming out in that first quarter, you know, in the March months. You know, maybe people will be on spring break and things like that. So maybe the kids will go to that. So I'm going with Onward at my number four.
Nice. Yeah, I had this at 11. Like, I went like, back and forth. I couldn't. It's like, I feel like it could do really well. I don't know what really drove me not to put in. I do have other animated films. And again, I just wasn't sure. Like, I thought the trailers looked okay. And it almost right. It seemed like there are multiple Pixar films coming out this year. And the fact that one's coming out in the summer makes me think that must be the one they have the more faith in. True. So, I don't know. But like you mentioned, the lack of competition is really true, because especially as a lot of movies seem to be pushing their release date back this year, it could be, you know, just by itself for some time. So it could end up being one of those movies that are doing well. And just looking at, as we're recording this, it did, seems to have a pretty strong opening weekend. So there you go.
And I hadn't looked at that yet, for the record. So no cheating here. All right. So
technically I had the same information I could have put it on, but...
And your number five was, of course, Raya and the Last Dragon. So we will bounce back to my number five, which, again, you're talking about in your opening how you don't know, even, you know, animated or not animated, when there's these franchise films. And we've brought this up in previous years, I think more with Transformers and I can't remember what the other film was, but Pirates of the Caribbean, I think, was when we were talking about it. But how long certain franchises can just keep it going. And, you know, when you get to the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th installment of a certain franchise, are you going to start to kind of peter out a little bit? And we're going to see the end of the trail, or can you just keep producing money-making movies? And I mean, so far, nothing suggests that this is slowing down. There's still an audience for this. And it still makes a lot of money. If you look at the last three films from this franchise, we're talking about, you know, 173, 226, and 353 million. So I'm going to keep with the Fast and Furious franchise and put Fast and Furious 9 here in my fifth spot, just because, I mean, Hobbs and Shaw was a little bit more of a spinoff, so I can see the dip there. But if 7 and 8 both did 300 and 200 plus million, this one should at least be somewhere in that ballpark. Maybe not quite the same levels, but I'm thinking, you know, low 200s maybe. And I know that a lot of people that I've come across were very high on the trailer and very excited and already wanting to buy their tickets. And I might not understand it, but I know it exists. So I'm thinking Fast and Furious is going to at least be somewhere in the top 10.
It's funny because you were, you know, doing all that, and I was like, oh, you must be talking about my number six, but no, you're talking about number seven, which was F9 or Fast and Furious 9. I have that as right. Number seven. But, you know, kind of just say ditto to what you said. I, you know, the fact that Hobbs and Shaw did like not as well, I think made me put it at number seven, because I did wonder, like, is it, you know, Or is it on the downward trend? Who knows? It could end up, you know, just doing really as well, because sometimes spinoffs don't do as well as the original. In fact, you know, having the original cast, and these do have a huge global appeal.
You need Vin Diesel.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. So I had it at number 7. But you're talking about, you know, a franchise that's like, okay, is this it? Is it done? Is it going to keep going? And when I first originally did this list, I didn't even include this in my top 10. But as I did research and I saw, whoa, the last movie did that well, I was like, I guess I'm going to have to put this in my top 10. Because even if it gets like half as well as the last movie, it's going to be a top 10, top 15 film. And that's Minions, The Rise of Gru. I didn't realize the first one. Well, I know, you know, the Despicable Me movies tend to do really well, but the last Minions movie in 2015 made $336 million, which is insane to me. I didn't realize it did nearly as well as it did originally. So even half of that, it's at least a top 20 film. Most likely, looking at this year, I would think. I thought, like, kind of, we've kind of passed by the Despicable Me films, but even the third one did pretty strong, and people love the Minions. I don't know. Like, it's, I know, like, looking at something like Secret Lives of Pets, which had a huge drop off from the second film, potentially this could be, you know, the same thing. But even if it's a huge drop off, I think it'll still be a relatively safe pick. So I don't necessarily understand it. I think the Despicable Me movies are pretty good. The Minions movie, the last Minions movie, I thought was pretty awful. But that doesn't necessarily mean it won't appeal to kids. So I don't know. And then that's Jean-Claude Van Damme. So I guess there's that. We know how much he brings in the box office. So that's why I put it in number 6. So I don't know. Like, I was like, I feel like I have to put it here, because these movies just, you know, they make bank.
I think you're wise beyond your years, Dan. I also have this at number 6. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was done. Like, I super enjoyed the first Despicable Me. Like, I was big fan on the bandwagon right from get-go on the first movie. Second movie, it was fine. And by the time Minions and Despicable 3 came around, I still haven't even seen Despicable Me 3 yet. But this is like a franchise that is just like a phenomenon when it comes to kids for some reason. So it's like you got Disney and, you know, Pixar and whatnot, and then you got like the Minions. I don't know. It's weird. But I couldn't not put it in my top 10. So even, like you said, even if it does less than the last one by a significant number, it's still going to probably be in the 200s somewhere.
Yeah, I was thinking of something like Ice Age, which was doing really well, then it kind of go off a cliff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think even if, like you said, it goes off a cliff, it should do pretty well. But like, I don't think it's there quite yet. So I don't know. It's crazy.
It is. And we both already revealed our number 7 picks. For me, that was Black Widow. And for Dan, that was Fast and Furious 9. So that brings us to what we have at number 8. What do you got, Dan?
So you had a Pixar film already, and I now here comes my Pixar film, but I'm going with Soul. Again, this one, I guess the thing I kind of linked it to was something like Coco. Because, you know, that was a very, you know, musical based Pixar film, and this seems something similar to that. Another original idea. So I figured one Pixar film is going to be in the top 10. Which one is it going to be? Is it this or Onward? And this is set to come out in the summertime, which it means more competition, but you know, at least potentially. But I feel like, you know, if it's as it could be as good as something like Inside Out, which was huge. So if it is that good, it could potentially push it up really high. So I don't know. This was a huge question mark for me. This was, again, it was like something I'm like, I don't know. I know there's going to be a Pixar film in the top 10 most likely. This one I'm the most intrigued by. It seems to be the most risky, and sometimes that pays off. So that's why I went with number 8.
Soul is also on my list. It was not as of yesterday, but before we started the record, I looked at it one more time, looked at my list, and it was one of those that was just sitting outside the top 10, and I bumped it into my number 9 spot. I tried to look at some of the things that you were talking about too with Inside Out, because it has that same type of look to it. And then I was thinking, like, what other like musical type things have we had in the animated world outside of, you know, like you just your standard Disney musical, and we got like Trolls and things of that nature. And if it does somewhere in between those two, I think that'll be good enough to get in its, you know, it has to do a little bit better than Trolls, but the original one did. And, you know, it doesn't have to do Inside Out numbers, but if it does anywhere near it, I think we're in a good spot. And, you know, kids like music. So I don't know. I think this is an intriguing one. I'm not sure where to put it, but I thought it probably has a good shot of being in the top 10. So I had it at number 9. For my number 8, again, I thought this was, it's funny because I was talking about Fast and Furious and you thought I was talking about Minions, and I thought you thought I was talking about this franchise because it's another one that we always get another chapter two, and it's always hard to gauge kind of the box office presence of this franchise. I'm talking about the Bond franchise. You know, if I'm looking at Spectre and Skyfall, they both did, you know, one of them did 200, one of them did 300 million. I don't know. Is the interest level as high as it was then? Is it going to continue, you knowing that it's his last ride as Bond, according to, I think, a couple things I read? So I think it's titled No Time to Die. Comes out next month.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. They pushed that one too?
They pushed it back until... I want to say November. Yeah, just okay. Recently, this past because of the coronavirus, they pushed it.
Gotcha. Well, if it's still going to come out this year, hopefully, because I always like making picks that come out the next year. That never helps. But that actually could even help it if it was coming out in the later part of the year, because there's not a ton of, it's weird, like November, December, you know, I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff that'll come out then that we haven't even, you know, been told about yet, or that's not on our radar, but that might do it well. But I don't know. I always keep waiting for this franchise to have a big drop too, but Spectre and Skyfall did so good that I can't leave this one off. So I'm putting No Time to Die at number 8.
It's my number 9. I actually thought about bumping it up after it did move, because I'm like, yeah, looking at the, you know, the winter months, there's nothing. It's kind of void that we don't have the Marvel film. We don't have Star Wars movie coming out. There's nothing really big. It could be one of those that just, it's like what people go to in the wintertime, because it's like the only thing there. I do, you know, I'm a fan of the Bond franchise. I'm curious to see how this goes. You know, so I had put it in number 10, or in my top 10, and I ended up going with number 9. So
perfect. Well, so far we've had a lot of agreement, Dan. So I'm interested to see how this kind of rounds out. With the rest of these picks. So what are we down to, our final one?
Yeah, number 10. I'm curious if so my number 10, I like, you know, we were talking about Marvel movies, and okay, you know, like I didn't want to not put this in my Marvel in my top 10 and watch again being like the next Guardians to being the biggest movie of the year, but I could also see it being one of the lowest grossing of all the Marvel films potentially. So my number 10 is Eternals. It's such a huge, we've seen really nothing about this outside of like movie posters and like some costume shots and things like that. The cast is pretty, you know, it looks pretty stacked, from Angelina Jolie, Kumail Nanjiani, who's, you know, maybe not. I think he's, you know, got. I think he could. This could be like a huge star making movie for him, like it was for Chris Pratt. Some Hayek and Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. So, but the Eternals, it's such a strange concept that hasn't really even really worked that well in the comic book world. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy was a huge risk, but I at least could look and say, like, okay, we got really good comics out of Guardians of the Galaxy, so if they could do that, potentially it could work. Eternals is a concept that was done by Jack Kirby, and it, you know, it was okay. It had its fan base, but it kind of went away, and every time they try to bring it back, in the comic book world, it's kind of failed. It's just not, even like Neil Gaiman couldn't get it to kind of stick. It's just a weird concept. And it doesn't, you know, the cool thing about Guardians of the Galaxy is that it had all these interesting, unique characters, and that necessarily isn't potentially the case with the Eternals. So I don't know. But ultimately, it's still a Marvel movie, and people feel like, you know, it's this ongoing chapter. And, you know, it could, they've, you know, Kevin Feige has proven that he can, you know, make movies that appeal to people, so that's why I had number 10.
Yeah, I definitely could see that coming true. But like all the comic book films this year outside of Wonder Woman, I'm just scared of placing too much stock in them because I just don't know which ones are going to land and which ones are not. And I'm sure we'll talk about a few of the other ones here and kind of like the wrap up here of this discussion. But I think out of the other ones that are available, this is probably the best bet. I had it like right around that 11, 12 range, and I just couldn't quite put it in there. I wanted to go with maybe a more risky pick for my number 10. And this is, I think, the hard thing to do because when you're trying to catch that one that's just going to catch like the buzz in society, it's hard. Like I remember, you know, a couple of years ago, what was the patriotic film that came out? American Sniper. That did that. And we've seen some other ones, you know, that just really caught on. And this has nothing to do with American Sniper. It's not even close to that type of movie. But I know that some of the other works that this gentleman has been associated have gone gangbusters when it comes to a different form of entertainment, not on the silver screen, but on the actual stage. And I'm wondering if he's going to have the same type of buzz go crazy with this film. And I could be way off because again, I haven't been like up on all the buzz and the rumors and all that of different films, but Lin-Manuel Miranda has a film coming out called In the Heights. And it's coming out in the middle of the summer, musical. And I just don't know, is this the type of film that's just going to get from word of mouth or from people that love music? You know, I mean, he had a ton of success with the Hamilton stage play. And I don't know if In the Heights will be able to capture some box office on the silver screen or not. But I'm willing to take the chance at the number 10 spot. So I'm going with In the Heights at number 10.
Wow, I actually didn't know this movie existed until now. So
it was weird because there's two more like traditional musicals coming out this year, unless they change their dates of the other one because it's towards the end, I think, slated right now. But you know, sometimes a musical like that can just really catch fire. And Lin-Manuel Miranda has had some success and had some of that like magic it factor, it seems like, with stuff that he touches. So they teased it a little bit at the Academy Awards, and I did some research on it and looked at it and saw some more stuff on it. I'm like, this might have that potential. So that's where I'm going with my number 10. But there's a lot of other films that we probably considered for this list. So Dan, what were some of the other ones that you think might have that potential that didn't quite make your top 10?
So ones that we didn't mention already, like I mentioned, Onward's 11, Tenet, the Christopher Nolan film. So I looked at that, you know, stuff like Inception, Interstellar did really, really well. Dunkirk did well, but not, you know, wasn't necessarily a top 10 film. So I could really see that being like the biggest movie this year that's not based upon something previous. The trailers look intriguing, but I don't know. And I also think they're somewhat confusing. So for some people, so I do wonder, like, that has me hesitant to put in the top 10. I think it'll do well, but I didn't think it'd be a top 10 movie. A huge question mark for me was Dune. You know, I know they want this to be like the next big, you know, potential franchise, but I think it's going to be, I think I could also see that being a huge, gigantic palm. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, how Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I don't say bomb is a strong word, but it did not do very well in what they wanted it to do. So I could see Dune being a great movie that just doesn't necessarily have the appeal. One of the hardest films, I think, to keep off was Quiet Place 2. First one, huge, huge success. So I really debated about putting that in the top 10. But any other ones that you didn't bring, I don't want to, you know, hog all the other.
Oh, that's right. We'll go back and forth a little bit. But just a real quick kind of go on some of the stuff you were talking about. I had Dune on my short list as well. And then I looked at the same film. I looked at Blade Runner and I was like, oof, I didn't realize Blade Runner was, you know, did that poorly in relative to what we're talking about as far as top 10 type box office films. And that was kind of scared me away from Dune. You know, we talked about horror films on your list from last year, and you had a couple that did really well. And I was trying to look and see if there was, what were the potential ones here? And you mentioned A Quiet Place too. So, I mean, that probably to me has the best chance. I know some people out there were looking at, you know, Halloween Kills as, you know, something that's coming around Halloween. The one in 2015 did like 160. So I didn't know if that was going to be quite enough to crack, you know, top 10 type territory. So I shied a little bit away from A Quiet Place and Halloween, but they could have the potential. I looked at another Disney film, because I had enough of those on my list, and they have that Artemis Fowl coming out in May.
Yeah,
but so many of those types of films just bomb. So
it also looks pretty bad.
Yeah, so that scared me away. The other animated film that I was considering was the Trolls World Tour. Now I know the first Troll, I can't even say that. First Trolls was like 150 million ish, but I feel like that one might have been one of those types of films that has gained in popularity via other means after that original film. Whether it be through animated series type stuff, or whether it be through, you know, seeing the movie on, you know, DVD, Blu-ray, etc. So I don't know if there is a bigger audience now for Trolls than there was originally or not, but I wasn't convinced enough to put it in my list. So another one before I let you maybe name a couple more, I was thinking about Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because Jumanji did so good, but Jumanji also had that former film that it was kind of capturing some nostalgia, where Jungle Cruise is kind of more of its own thing. So I don't know what the audience for Jungle Cruise would be. Thoughts on that one, or a couple others that you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, Jungle Cruise I thought about too. I don't know. I wasn't sure. Like not seeing a trailer, not knowing how well it's going to be. I could also see it being a huge bomb, like Doolittle, you know?
Right.
One I really thought about too was Ghostbusters Afterlife, considering, you know, there's a lot of Ghostbusters fans, and apparently, you know, some of the original cast are coming back for that. I wasn't super sold on the trailer and the fact that it's kind of seems more based on these kids. I don't know. I like that one. I wasn't really sure about that, so I didn't list it. Morbius, considering how well Venom did, and I didn't think that would do very well. I could be, you know, very much regretting not including Morbius on this list.
Is there a second Venom 2 coming out?
Not this year.
Oh, okay. But I thought I saw something about that. But
yeah, I think it originally was slated. I don't know. They're slated, but they adjusted. I don't know. The Morbius trailer didn't really sell me very well, but neither did the Venom movie, and that didn't matter. I don't know. Vampires, though, I don't know. Again, I'm not sure. Like, it's a huge question mark for me. It does seem like they're really trying to, like, talk about, like, how it's, you know, connected to Spider-Man, so I don't know. I that was really hard to gauge. I think it's rated R, which had me a little bit hesitant. I know Joker did really well, but who knows? Actually, I don't know what it's rated, so I said that.
There's two other ones that I was intrigued about, you know, kind of more of that catch the lightning in the bottle type thing. They're not, you know, not necessarily connected to some comic book or franchise, or, you know, they're not animated, but I was curious how something like Greyhound would do in the box office. This one, it's just Tom Hanks is connected to this one. War film coming out in the summer. I didn't know if that might have some staying power. And then there's also a film called The Last Duel, which is kind of a historical thriller along the same lines of maybe like a Gladiator type film. And it is being done by Ridley Scott.
Is he remaking his original? Because he did.
It's Ridley Scott, but it's something with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are heavily involved in producing or starring or whatever. I haven't had a chance to research it a lot, so I was too scared because I just didn't know enough about it. But I didn't know if that was going to be something that could come out and be a thing or not. Maybe I just have bad information. And the other one that I was talking about when I was talking about In the Heights, as far as a musical goes, obviously we have another musical coming out in December from Steven Spielberg, West Side Story, which is just bizarre to me that Spielberg is doing West Side Story. I don't know. I didn't think that he was in that, I don't know, that ballpark. So as far as knowing how to do a musical, but maybe he's just challenging himself. I don't know. Chicago did really good back in the day.
It could. I actually missed that was coming out, weirdly enough.
The only reason that I was thinking about it is because we actually went to a show in Chicago, not the show Chicago, and one of the people that was appearing of it in the playbill said that she was slated to be in West Side Story. I don't know what kind of role she's going to be in, but I was like, oh, let me look at this a little bit. I was like, I didn't realize Spielberg was doing a West Side Story. So,
And then the last ones that we didn't bring up yet, Free Guy, which is the Ryan Reynolds movie. Video kind of video game based. It, it's again original property. It was originally a 20th Century Fox movie, but now Disney because of the merger. Again, like I think that could do okay. I wasn't really sure about that, but it looked fun. So it almost it looked like it could do pretty well. Ryan Reynolds seems to have a pretty strong fan base for the most part. Surprisingly, two of the biggest monster icons are fighting in a movie, and it seems like it should be bigger, but the Kong films seem to like not do super, super well. So there's Godzilla vs. Kong that's coming out this year. At least it's slated to as we're speaking.
Right.
So again, why I didn't have it higher is because the last Godzilla movie did okay, but not great. So
right.
Having King Kong in there, I don't know if it's going to add much. And then there's another Conjuring movie coming out. And those movies do really, really well, but I don't know if it'll do well enough to reach the top 10 again. Talking about a horror film that could, you know, go up there, I could see it being a top 10 movie potentially, because those movies do tend to be pretty good and tend to do well. I wasn't sure about that or A Quiet Place. So
yeah, I could definitely see that. That made me think of the other two horror films I was somewhat considering that I just gave glancing thoughts to, and one of them is called Spiral, which is like the next in the Saw series, but it's got like Chris Rock and somebody else in it. And I'm like, is this going to be like trying to re-legitimize the Saw franchise? And then there's Candyman, which is not being directed by Jordan Peele, but I believe, and I don't think it's being directed by him, but I know he's involved somehow as a producer, maybe. So I wasn't sure, like, I don't know enough about those two to give it like enough consideration to be on here. And then there's like some more kids movies. There's another SpongeBob. There's just another Scooby-Doo movie. There's another Kingsman movie.
Yeah. The Scoob movie. I don't know, like that again, it was hard. Like, I feel like part of me looks at that. It looks like a direct to DVD movie. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if today's kids care about Scooby-Doo.
Right.
So
and there are a couple too that I was afraid that wouldn't come out, or I couldn't find anything to confirm about them yet. There's apparently a Fantastic Voyage property that Del Toro is involved with. I didn't know if that was going to actually end up coming out this year. There's supposed to be another G.I. Joe movie, but that could tank very, very easily. And stuff like Coming to America, the sequel. Like, is that a thing that people are going to go crazy about? I don't know.
Yeah, comedy's hard because that's, you know, we haven't had a huge comedy in some time, so it's
tough. Right. So real quick, Dan, let's go back down just to recap our 10, since we kind of were going back and forth. Let's give it straight through. You can start at either end and then just give us your 10 picks.
I guess I'll start at number one. Wonder Woman 1984 is my number one. Top Gun Maverick is my number two. Then Mulan and Black Widow and Raya and the Last Dragon round out my top five. And then at number six, I have Minions, The Rise of Gru, the Fast and Furious 9 at number seven, and Soul, and No Time to Die at number nine. And lastly, at number 10, I have Eternals.
Right, and mine go like this. Number one, Mulan. Wonder Woman 1984 at number two. Raya and the Last Dragon at number three. Then another animated film, Onward, at number four. Fast and Furious 9 at number five. Another animated film, Minions, at number six. And then Black Widow at seven. No Time to Die at eight. Soul at nine. And In the Heights at 10. So you'll have to let us know where we got it wrong, where we got it right, what your opinions are, what's coming out in 2020 in the box office. I did leave Bad Boys for Life off since it had already come out, but it does have an outside shot of being in the top 20 probably. So let us know by going to geekcastradio.com and finding our episode post, and you can comment there. You can also interact with us on Twitter. You can interact with the show at Cinema Geekcast, or you can interact with either one of us individually. Dan, what is your Twitter?
I'm at DXO_Dan.
I am at Optimus Solo, and we will be coming back with some more episodes coming up as we turn more attention towards movies of 2020 and back on some look back at what happened in the last decade. So we're going to give you some thoughts on what we liked the most from the last decade of movies now that it is over. So that is some stuff to look forward to. And until then, tune in next time for another chance to listen to The Cinema Geeks.